Hello, welcome to the August 12th KPFK Local Station Board Finance Committee. It's 4:05, and I'm convening this meeting. I'm going to take roll.
You didn't say your name.
Grace Aaron?
Here.
Kim Aaron? Alan Beek?
Here.
Alan?
Here.
Okay. Fred Blair?
Here. Present.
Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Dave Johnson?
I'm here.
Steve Kaiser? I'm Kim Kaufman. I'm the chair. I'm here. Michael Novick?
Present.
Polina Vasilyev? And John Wenger?
Here.
Is Barry Brooks on?
Present.
Hi, Barry.
Hello.
All right, we got quorum. So did everybody read the agenda?
Mine's about to get lost in internet access, so I'm just getting it back.
Okay, I can't understand you, Michael. Please.
I lost my internet access. I'm just getting it back now, so I haven't looked at it. I saw that I had it, but my computer had to shut down.
Okay. Has anybody else gotten it, read it, looked at it?
Yeah, I'm reading it right now.
Now. Too
Kim,
long.
Kim, I received it. I'm looking at it presently. I hear this strange echo.
I don't.
Maybe it's my equipment.
So can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
I move we approve the agenda.
I heard two people at one time.
Bella to the staff.
Fred made a motion to approve it, and I think Michael Novick said something else.
This is one who used it for the stream.
Okay.
Fred, is Fred recognized?
Sure.
I move we approve the agenda.
Okay, we heard that. But I'll read it out loud. Approved minutes from July 8th and the continuation meetings of the 15th and 22nd. Next meeting, September 9th. Do we want to move it to 3 o'clock to accommodate Polina's schedule? 5, report from PNB Rebudget. 6, report from GM and or BM or DD. 7, review June FY 2020 NEDA P&L. 8, discussion 2021 budget. There's a motion from me, a report from the NFC, and another motion from me. I'll read them when we get to them. They're sort of long. Okay. Any amendments?
Bella to the stack.
Go ahead, Bella.
I go along with setting next. Yes, we can approve, and I also vote okay for 3 o'clock to accommodate fully.
We're not discussing the agenda. We're only approving it, Bella. So I have no objections to approving the agenda. Okay, did you all get the minutes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Any changes? Can I hear a motion to approve the agenda? I mean the minutes?
So moved.
I make a motion.
Okay, anybody have any issues, changes?
Bella to the stack.
Go ahead, Bella.
This is the second time that I make this statement. I do not appreciate your attitude toward me at these meetings, and I suggest and ask you once again, and I wrote you personally, to stop your attitude toward me. Do you understand? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bella. Thank you. Any objections to or changes to the minutes? So I guess they're approved.
How were the minutes distributed? I didn't know I had any.
I sent them about an hour ago.
I need to make a comment, please. This is Bella.
If it's personal, Bella, you cannot make it. I will not have any more personal comments from
this
you or anyone else.
This is regarding the minutes, okay?
Okay.
Why have you sent so many documents right before the meeting? Isn't that something we have argued with management?
Okay, Bella, you have received all of these documents before. I was sending it merely for convenience for people who couldn't find, who maybe didn't locate all these documents at one time for the meeting. Moving on.
Ken to the staff.
Hello, Ken. Welcome. Go ahead, Ken.
I believe we should censor the disruptive action of the last speaker because it's only meant to obstruct and upset the meeting and take us off course in handling business. If you don't handle it now, it's just going to come up again and again and again during the meeting. It's silly.
This is Bolina.
I call for a censor of inappropriate participation of the previous member who's speaking. That's a motion.
Okay.
Point
ahead,
of personal
Bolina.
Privilege. Yeah, thank you. I couldn't hear Ken. Was that Ken, Aaron?
Yeah,
Ken,
I was asking for a motion
you're off
to
my,
censor.
At least in my, yeah, thank you.
He's asking for a motion to censor Bella for her personal comments towards me.
Uh-huh. Thank you for clarifying that. I just wanted to also, as a point of personal privilege, to state that that's exactly right, Kim. What Kim Kaufman sent out today was just for the benefit of those of us whose mailboxes, and that's all of us, are flooded with emails. But I have no opinion on Ken's motion. Thank you.
If nobody else has something to say, I'll say something. I appreciate the sentiment, Ken. If you want to censure somebody, you really need to read Robert's rules first and sort of, I believe, there's a way to do it in Robert's rules, and I don't recall it right now, where you ask for that person to be called out in the minutes that they were reprimanded for bad behavior. But a censure requires a 30-day notice and all that kind of formal crap.
Okay. I'm just asking for it to be noted.
Okay, point of order.
Okay, Grace, go ahead.
Okay. Bringing a member to order does not take a 30-day notice. If everybody in a committee or a body has observed the behavior, there can be disciplinary action taken immediately at that time. That's completely appropriate per Robert's rules. I will look at Robert's rules, and when I find the exact citation, I will ask to be recognized. Again.
This is for a censure, a formal censure, Grace.
I think that Ken might be willing just to have discipline, not formal censure.
Right, that's what we just agreed to. But I will say one thing. If there's any more personal attacks on me from this member, I'm going to mute that person. Okay? So we're going to stick to the agenda and try and move through this, we have a lot to cover.
Okay.
No, that's fine, Ken. Note in minutes. I'll just put that in there in my notes. Okay, next meeting is September 9th, 4 o'clock p.m. Does the group agree to meet at 3 o'clock going forward next time and afterwards to accommodate Paulina's schedule, who needs to leave generally at 5:30 every time? Since she's our MFC rep, I would like to accommodate that. I think the person we most need to hear from is Barry.
I don't mind starting at 3 o'clock if it means that we're going to leave an hour early.
Yeah.
Yep. If it means that, yeah, I'll find that if we leave an hour early.
Okay. Anybody else have any objections to this?
Kim, I suggest you ask if there's any objections to meeting at 3 o'clock.
I just did, Fred. Hello, I just did. Does anybody else have objections to moving it to 3 o'clock permanently going forward? I hear none. So we're going to be meeting at 3 o'clock on whatever it is, the second Wednesday of every month. Thank you very much. Okay. So is there a report from the PNB regarding the budget issues? Hello? Great.
Can you repeat?
Paulina?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can we get a report from the PNB regarding the budget, any budget discussions that are going on in any of the closed sessions that are taking place regarding KPFK?
I'd like to be on the stack.
Go ahead.
Okay. No substantive report out was made last night. What happened in the meeting, neither Paulina nor I can report in detail because it was a closed session.
Go ahead.
So that's all we can say.
Okay, so the PNB is or is not looking at this budget. Shall we just proceed as we would?
I think that we should just proceed as the local finance committee. Yes, the PNB received the budget, and the PNB mandated a 30% reduction in expenses. It did not say balancing the budget is necessary as well, but that does not mean that if there are projected increases of income that the expense cuts can be less than 30%. No. The PNB motion that was passed, I think, on June 11th, stipulated that there was to be at least 30% in expense cuts at KPFK. Not 20%, 30% at least.
All right. I personally am not sure where that 30% number came from or what it relates to in terms of actual dollars or cents. Perhaps you can explain. I know that you based it. Somebody's got a beep going on.
Yeah, I'll mute myself. Somebody set a firecracker off. Some people don't know that July the 4th ended.
Okay.
I muted John Wanger.
No, let John mute himself so he can unmute himself when it's over, Fred.
Okay,
and I believe in the National Finance Committee, KPFK was found to have a shortfall in the current fiscal year of 32%. So
I don't know what that means. Numbers, real numbers, Grace, because 32% of bad numbers means nothing.
I personally don't have the exact numbers. And also the shortfalls, it appears that the shortfalls are greater in the last 3 months. The fund drive income has decreased per the daily fund drive income. We have not gotten the exact numbers for the last month. So, the thing is, I don't think that anyone's going to argue that the expense cuts should be less than 30%. They have to be at least 30%. Moving forward, we don't expect any event income. We don't expect any corporate sponsorship income. We know that our daily fund drive totals are declining. Let's start with a 30% expense cut and then work from there if further adjustments need to be made. And, Kim, if you wish, you can work out the financials and get it exact. You have the P&Ls and you have the budgets.
I do, and I'm saying that I'm not seeing a decrease in revenue to the extent that you're claiming it is. It's just not there. I mean, it's just not there. You say we're losing $150,000 every month. This is not backed up by anything on the P&Ls from this year to last year. So I'm saying I don't get where your numbers are coming from. They don't add up when I'm looking at the real numbers.
Okay,
the closest we have is the P&Ls.
Okay, what time frame are you looking at?
Well, Grace, what do you think? I'm looking at the latest P&Ls from NEDA, June 30th.
When you're looking at decrease in income, what are you looking at? Are you looking at
through June 30th?
From October 1st?
Yes, of course.
Okay, well don't look at that. Look at the last 3 months. I am specifically
looking at that because obviously that's where, you know, we would expect to see a sharp decrease. And I am not seeing it. Pull out the numbers, Grace. We'll go over it when we go to the P&Ls in a little bit. Okay, moving on.
Okay, anyway, the numbers were given at the NFC meeting.
I heard them, Grace. That's why I'm asking these questions.
Okay.
Can I jump in there, Kim?
At
the NFC meeting last night, Kim Corey did a 6 month analysis, and he found that KPFK was in deficit by $428,000. That's almost $500,000.
Right. Okay. I heard that, and you know, Chris and I have a disagreement over numbers for one thing, and but it's been cumulative. As far as I can see, it did not happen in the last 3 months. That's all I'm saying. When we get to the P&Ls, I'll show you. Okay, Barry, do you have any report for us?
I do. Okay, so.
Now, Barry, we've asked you multiple times to send us a written report,
I have a written report in front of me. I'll send it to you after the meeting's over with.
No, actually, we need it before the meeting so we can read along, so we're not sort of saying, oh, can you stop and let us write down the number? We can't hear you. Can you speak louder? That's why it's good to have it before the meeting. Maybe you can send it out right now. That would be helpful to us so we can read along.
Hold on a minute. See if I can do it here.
Hello?
Hey, hold on a minute. to see here.
Well,
all right, there you go, Kim.
All right. All right, well, start your report and we'll get it when we get it.
Okay, so anyway, going forward, today's bank balance at Bank of America is $112,689.54.
$112,689.54. We don't need cents. Please, just the big numbers. Thank you.
Okay, KPFK has raised in the last summer fund drive $210,805.
210,805, and that's how many days? That was 2 weeks?
Day is the 12th, that's 16 days.
It was what? From what date to what?
From July 28th to August, well, actually 15, yeah, because it stopped today at 6 a.m. So it's actually 15 days.
July 28th through?
August the 11th.
August the 11th. 15 days, okay.
Projected fund drive goal was $200,000. As of July 31st, listener support revenue is at
$1,912,538. Okay, let's see if it's here. The total listener support revenue at July 31 is $1.9 million. Is that the figure you just said?
Yeah, 1.9 million.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Now.
Total revenue as of July is $2.4 million.
Is that? Oh, total revenue. Wait. Okay.
And that amount is $687,000 off from last year's total at this point in time, at July's juncture, at the period ending July 31st, which is a 22% decrease.
Well,
in total revenue.
Yeah, it depends on. Well, I'll
wait. No, it doesn't depend on anything, Kim. It's what the actual number is. Okay.
I'll raise that issue when we get there.
Okay, is there something that Barry can be a little bit louder?
Yeah, those are the actual numbers as of July 31st, 2020. We have realized the repayment of the Pacifica Foundation affiliate loan that we took out for April 15th of $34,400. We paid that back. We also made central services payments for June and July, but we're still in arrears for fiscal year 2020 at $184,000, which represents 5 months of central services. Our donations
That was for 2020. Is that what you said, 2020?
Correct. Huh? Yes.
And you still owe for 19?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Card donations is $64,095.
which is a 22% decrease from last year actual as of July 31st.
Mail. I don't see anything. Have you sent something?
Yes, I got it.
I gave it to Ken.
Oh, you only gave it to me? Oh. Okay, sorry.
You're the chair.
That's fine. You could have just stuck it on a reply to all, but I'll do it. Go ahead. I'm sorry, everybody. Okay, go ahead, Barry.
Okay, so as of now, KPFK needs $280,000 of operating income in order to satisfy its obligations with its vendors and its National Office for Central Services. That's per month. We've also budgeted, of course, I've mentioned this before, $46,000 for the FJC loan, in which we probably make an interest payment, I think, this September 2020. KPFK received a reprieve to the CARES Act PPP funding to meet its vendors and credit obligations, but that is going to end on Saturday, August 15th. So we will have exhausted our funds for the PPP funding. Cash flow position must improve in the months ahead in order for the station to be in a better financial position in the future. We must create other units of revenue in order to become solvent. NEDA has recommended a 10% reduction in listener support revenue for fiscal year 2020 based on 2019's revenue and fund drive performance.
I'm not getting this off this oral. Is it going to be in writing?
I sent it to you, Alan.
The top six performing premiums that we had for this past fund drive was the Dr. Romeo book, the Power Pack, Exclusive Protec Probiotic Pack, Renee Lynn's CBD Experience Package, and Brent Phillips and Boku's Meal Replacement Mega Pack. Okay. KPFK was projected to raise $3.4 million in total revenue for fiscal year 2020, but due to the world pandemic, coronavirus, COVID-19, KPFK will fall short of the total revenue projected. And that's it for me. I'll yield back to you, Kim.
I'll take a stack.
Pauline, up to the stack.
Michael, to the stack.
Anyone else?
Fred to the stack.
What, Fred? I mean, Alan?
The report has arrived, and I am printing it.
Well, Mazel Tov. Go ahead, Paulina.
Fred to the stack also.
Thank you.
Okay, Fred, I got you. Paulina?
You. Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
Barry?
Yes.
What's the – you mentioned the premiums that raised the most funds. How did the premium pitches do in comparison to no premium pitches?
Well, I don't have that data in front of me, but I do believe that we did do a pretty good sizable amount of revenue without the premium. This past fund drive, this one that we just passed, but the one in June didn't perform very well.
Okay, well, in the future, Barry, we need better numbers than, like, I think it'd be better, but, you know.
Okay, well, with the new software package, I will probably have better numbers for you, but we're still trying to, you know, figure out the glitches in that software program.
Okay. Anything else, Paulina?
Not at this time.
Michael Novick?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand how anything you just reported corresponds to the last document, budget document that I have to see, which is the one that got sent to the PMB. For example, it shows as listener support for July fiscal year 2020, $151,000, and for August, $323,000. You're saying now that the fund drive between July and August took in $200,000.
$210,000.
Okay, $210,000. But
we're not finished with fundraising. Okay, we're still going to be in a soft fund drive going forward from this point until September 1st.
Michael, are you looking at the budget? You're looking at the budget that you got from Barry or Grace or from National, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, we
That's
have
been changed.
All of those since last Thursday, Barry?
Yeah, we have a new budget amount.
Thank you for sending it to us for before the meeting.
Aniel sent it to you. I didn't have to send it to you. He sent it out.
Well, no, I'm looking at the one that Aniel sent.
Michael, look at those numbers. They are bogus. I took it off mine.
Yes.
They are bad numbers. These numbers project over $3 million in listener support. These are just bad numbers. You can look at May and June and see that they're just like nobody's read this before they sent it out. I just took it off mine.
Well, the one I see here, the one that he submitted, has listener support revenue of $2.3 million for the year.
No, we're looking at your October, your May, June, your projections for the end of 2020. Those numbers just don't make sense. They're like four columns that just don't make sense. More than four columns because there's a total. I'm insulted that you would send it to us like that, quite frankly.
That budget has been revised. It's been done over again.
Barry, we're talking about your projections for year 2020, the first four columns of the budget.
Oh, the projections. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't see any columns in this letter I just got on the email.
We're looking at the budget.
Oh. Was that sent over the email?
Yes.
Multiple times. And I sent it out like a half an hour ago or an hour ago now. Barry, those numbers are bad. And I'm really sort of like, I mean, they're, you know, we received the first draft in July. You already had May and June to look at that. You already had May and June to look at those numbers and go, wow, these aren't the right numbers. And I'm just like, why are you sending us, like, just eyeball
Aniel has sent you a new budget for 2021.
They have the same projections in there, Barry.
No, they don't. The total revenue for listener support is $2.3 million. That's what I'm reading in front of you right now. So you must be looking at the wrong schedule.
I'll check. Okay, anyways. Michael, any other questions?
Not at the moment.
Fred?
Well, I partially forgot what I was going to ask, but looking at the budget, you indicate substantial income in August and September. Do you plan to run fund drives? Also, you indicate income for fiscal year 21 in October. So do you plan to run fund drives in all three of those months?
No. There won't be another fund drive, hopefully, until October 1st or October 3rd is when we schedule to have another fund drive.
Well, how are you going to get income in September?
Like I mentioned to you before, there will be soft drives going forward that Aniel has planned on doing.
This is totally...
So we're not
the whole fund drive thing is totally confused. We have no plan on indicating when fund drives actually take place, how many days, what the daily averages are anticipated to be.
Okay, well, this last fund drive, the average was a little bit over $11,000 a day.
Jesus.
Michael, back to the sack.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know what to say, Kim.
I hear you. I hear you.
It's a mishmash. There appears to be no organization. I'm finished.
Okay, Michael, then Ken.
I'm looking at the budget that Anil sent us yesterday, basically, and it's showing for August of this fiscal year, $323,000 in listener support. And for September, $424,000 in listener support. So if we only raised $200,000 in a fund drive that extended from part of July into August, I don't understand those figures. That's what I'm asking you. Are you saying there's some other budget that we haven't seen than the one that Anil sent us?
No. Michael, look at column V. This is their projected total revenue. Listener support revenue of 3.153.
Yeah.
This is just a bad number. It may be left over from last year's budget, but it's fundamentally bad numbers.
But I'm saying they're showing total actual at 2,000,007.
How about some line numbers and columns?
From last year?
For
Michael, it's very hard to follow. Give us a line number and a column.
I'm looking at the top line. I can't see it on a line number. It says, 5,000. It's the first line of the budget.
Listener support.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Line eight.
Okay. So if you look at the last two columns, show net income or loss. It says fiscal year 2020 projected, and then it says fiscal year 2020 actual.
Well, here's the thing, Michael. Here's the thing. That is a typo. That should be 2019. Okay, I put it in my notes to management. That's 2019. And the 2.7 is actually wrong. It's now 2.6 because they finally did pull out that $100,000 major donor from last year that went into listener support, and it is now where it belongs in major donor income. There's still $100,000 that didn't get into major donor yet, but these are what I'm calling bad numbers. We're looking at bad numbers here, comparing, you know. Anyways, I hope that helps. I mean, that helps only insofar as you know what you're looking at a little bit better, but it doesn't make the numbers any better. But the 3.153 projected year end is just—it's insulting to send it to us that anybody would believe that. That's the way I feel, and I'm sorry to be so harsh, but
My concern again is about the I read this several times, the cash flow problems in the budget that were being sent. If we're anticipating that somehow there's $424,000 coming in September.
Well, I don't anticipate that. I don't anticipate that.
I understand that you don't, but the budget does. That's what I'm getting at. The budget does.
Yeah.
If that money is not forthcoming, then it throws off every possible cash flow projection for October and thereafter.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're starting with fundamentally bad numbers, you know, and the biggest problem, I'll just, you know, interject here, is we do not have a fund drive chart. I mean, $11,000 a day is not looking good. And, you know, I don't know where any of this money is coming from because, again, management refuses to put down how they're going to raise any of this money. I mean, I have no idea how we're going to get through September. Okay, you know, the CARES will take care of payroll in August, but you got September, and I don't see any money coming in. And I don't, you know, I don't know. I mean, 200K for the whole of August. The soft drive was raising, what, maybe $5,000 a day? You know, maybe somebody can figure that out for the rest of the month, how much that'll bring in, or for September. But we're not talking real numbers here. We need a fund drive chart for the budget for FY 2020. Straight up, we need a fund drive chart. What days are you going to do fund drives? How much per day, and what is the fulfillment rate? Otherwise, these numbers are just meaningless. I mean, they were meaningless even with that, basically. But we need that.
There will be another fund drive on October 3rd.
Fine. We need a chart of all your fund drives that you have planned for FY 2021. I've said this multiple times. I am saying it again. This budget will not get approved without that.
John, into the queue.
Michael, are you done?
Yes.
Ken?
Oh, okay. Taking a chat here, Barry. Can you explain to me what the difficulties or bugs you're having with using Allegiant?
Well, they just got the software uploaded, and Terry and Donna are the ones that are operating the ins and outs of the donors that are making contributions and all that. But so the interface page, it only tells you what the total amount raised in whole dollars, and then it tells you as a subset sustainers. So it's kind of difficult right now to extrapolate, you know, month to month or day to day averages right now. But the system will be able to do that once they figure it out how to do it.
As far as you know, they could do it if they knew how.
Right. Right. They're trying to do it on the fly. So I talked to Terry, and he said that they're trying to get that resolved where they can give you averages and, you know, average daily collected and, you know, those type of.
Okay. Let me ask another question. As far as you know, are the only people being trained are Terry and the people working in his department?
That's correct. They were the two that were trained initially.
They were what?
Right.
Just Terry and the lady.
Donna Walker.
Terry and Donna. That's it. Ollie's not
part of it.
They're not part of it. Nobody else knows how to use the software.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So I just have to do it. You know, I have to teach myself how to do it. So that's how it goes.
Okay, thank you.
Wenger? This is...
I was just thinking about that. I remember that Ken and I volunteered to go help with that, but we were told we weren't needed. I guess the thing I just wanted to point out is that, Barry, as you probably recall, this finance committee has been asking for this schedule of the fund drive days, you know, the actual dates of the identification of the month and the dates in the month, so we could look at this thing going forward prospectively. And this motion went from the finance committee to the LSB, but I don't attend LSB meetings, so my question is to those that do, is did the LSB pass that motion? Or not. If they didn't pass a motion, then we're done. But if they did pass a motion, then maybe some LSB members could discuss how it was received by management.
I wrote up all of our comments and we sent it to management. There was nothing really to send to the LSB yet. You know, it's up to management to take our suggestions or not, which is sort of what they did, or not. So,
Bella,
I'd like to respond to that a little bit, because I think the way I'm just guessing here, but I think the way Annual perceives this whole thing is that he's not answerable at all to the Finance Committee. He's answerable to some extent to the LSB. And so if we, and we're supposed to be the, you know, the eyes and mind of the LSB and advise the LSB. If we have not asked the LSB to make a formal request to Anyel, he can probably, I don't know what he's thinking, but he's probably thinking that, there's nothing for him to do because no one official has asked him yet.
Bella, to the staff.
I'm done.
Okay, Bella.
Yes. In answer to John, all the motions that have been passed by the LSB in various... Who is making all that noise?
Yeah, it's a scraping.
No, I'm muted.
Okay. All the motions that have been passed at the Finance Committee have been submitted to the LSB, and the LSB has voted them. They were supposed to have been then submitted to Anyel and CC Barry Brooks, and this was done. So Anyel is very aware of every single motion that comes from this body. However, I fully agree with you, John, that he is not answerable. His attitude is he's not answerable to this body and to some extent, to a very low extent, to the LSB. And by the way, some of these motions have gone up to the PNB. And this is the reason why he had to appear in front of the PNB in recent time. And he has another appointment with them today. Okay, I'll end it there.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
I will say again, our suggestions did not go to the LSB because they're not, we were expecting a second draft before it went to the LSB. So we got the second draft, and they didn't make a majority of the changes. So, you know, We're talking about Barry's report, not really the budget yet, or the P&Ls, because I have stuff to say about both of those. I don't know. Does anybody?
I'd like to say a little more. Tim,
okay.
If I could say a little bit more. Yeah,
Go ahead. So
Barry, you're here, you're attending the meeting, you're hearing the deliberation. I think you can hear the frustration that we don't have this plan, the schedule of the fund driving days. You probably heard that asked for probably 3 or 4 months now. I guess as a kind of a friendly suggestion, I would suggest that you just make that report. We've been asked for informally.
It'd
be useful to have it.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm in the process of finalizing the report. It's just that I have to make sure that everything's right, okay, as far as the projection for the number of fund drive days for fiscal year 2021, okay? So I will send that to you in the next couple of days, all right?
And you're coming up with that now. He's coming up with that now.
Okay, that's great. That's what I'm looking for. I'm just trying to make the process work better here, because essentially you're here and you're getting the benefit of all of our ideas and thoughts and everything. So it's natural you just do it unless there's some reason not to do it. And I'm glad you're going to do it. So that's all great. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. And also I want to make a correction on the last month's fund drive. The average daily, according to Allegiance, was $16,000 per day.
Can you send that in writing, please?
Sure.
To the group. Thank you.
This is Paulina.
Go ahead.
What's the difficulty of getting the average from Allegiance? Even if Allegiance doesn't do, if you don't know how to get an average, can't you just put it in a spreadsheet?
Well, there's another collection tool called DonorBox, and that's not included on the Allegiant fundraising portal. And Terry is working on getting that put into the portal. So you have to go through two different software programs to pull the number.
Right, but what I'm trying to say is, if you can't pull the number, can't you just pull the daily total and take an average divided by the number of fund drive days?
I mean, you could do it that way. Yeah, you could. But we've done this Allegiant, and we're trying to get it to work in the way that FileMaker used to work.
Right. I understand. It's just that in the past, when I've tried to understand KPFK finances and fund drive numbers, what I would do is I would just take the daily total, add it up, divided by the number of fund drive days, and then voila. I don't think we can wait for folks to learn how to use a software to actually get the numbers to us. I don't think that's a good excuse, you see.
I gave you the total amount raised for the fund drive.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you the total amount raised for the fund drive.
Okay. And exactly. And with that, we know how many fund drive days those were. Now, of course, this whole concept of soft fund drive throws in a different metric there that we need to take care of. But in any case, yeah. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Michael, back to the stack again.
This is Alan B. Battery is going flat in my phone. I will have to get out of the call. Good night.
Thank you, Alan.
Night.
Thanks, Alan.
Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, so I'm looking at the last P&L I have, which was from May 31st, 2020.
I sent out the June ones earlier.
Okay, maybe I didn't save it. Let me make my point. As of May 31st, 2020, the year-to-date actual and listener support was 1,685,896. And on Barry's document that he just sent us, the year-to-date listener support is 1,912,538. That means between May 31st and now, we've raised $226,642 in listener support, actual money that came in. So that's all of June, all of July, and part of August. We can't sustain that.
That listener support number is a little higher for June and July. For the last 2 months, for June and July, we raised $397,514.21 for listener support revenue.
Then the figures you just sent us are wrong.
No, they're not. No, they're not. It's what I'm looking at right now on the P&L. The month of June, we brought in $251,502. For the month of July, we brought in $146,011. That's from the P&L.
Yeah, okay. So if I'm saying the P&L for May showed $1.685 million year-to-date actual through May 31st, so then your 1.9 has to be wrong if June and July you just cited are accurate. Something is wrong. I don't know what it is, but I'm trying to get at what Jim is arguing about with Grace about the drop-off or the inadequacy of our income. So,
well, Michael, according to my figure, at the end of May, the total listener support revenue was $1.5 million.
That's not what's in the P&L.
That's what I
have. That's all I can tell you.
Michael,
Fred to the stack.
Everybody else. One thing that's going on here is Barry has suddenly been adding this website income. Okay, that is what's making it hard to compare listener support from year to year. For my own use, I added that website income back in because it just makes no sense otherwise. But that's part of our the problem.
There's no problem. People make contributions through the website, and you need to distinguish between the two.
The problem is comparing apples to apples, not apples to oranges.
Well, if you knew how to read a P&L, it would be fine. If you knew how to read a P&L, you'd be fine. If you don't know how to do it.
Okay. All righty. Fred, you were on the – are you finished, Michael?
I guess.
Yeah. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah. Do these numbers also include – are they including the sustainer members' income? Or is that separate?
Of the let's see, of the 210,000 that I gave you, the sustainers was 21,974 for the last fund drive, and that is a subset.
21,000 is that 1 month, or is that how many months of sustainers?
No, that's for the last fund drive of 15 days.
What document line number and column, please?
There is none.
21,974 was the sustainers for the last fund drive.
How do you know that?
I'm reading it off the Allegiance reporting schedule.
Well, I mean, I looked at the Allegiance report and I didn't see sustainers. I saw new members, continuing members, expired members, website income, and premium gifts. And it's a little confusing. Are we, can you tell me when we're going to get a complete report from the membership department explaining, you know, all this? There were all kinds of promises made when we were going to switch over to Allegiance. It was going to solve all our problems, and it seems to at this point, only contributed more confusion.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not in control of that. So you have to talk to Terry Guy about that. He's the one in control of doing that.
But you're in control of giving us, you know, information, Barry. So you and Terry.
And I've done that. I've done that. I've given you information. I've given you P&L. I gave you an accounts payable schedule of the total amount of vendors that we pay on a month-to-month basis. I've given you all that information to you. I have been forthcoming and given information to all of you. So I don't know what you're complaining about.
Well, we're complaining about that we can't get a real solid idea of how much money we get in sustainers every month. Now, I heard you have said this, that we get a lump sum the 20th of every month.
Correct.
That doesn't appear to be accurate since we just had a fund drive, and now you're telling us that 10% of that listener support is actually sustainers.
Mm-hmm. Every month we get a bump in our balance sheet, our balance at our bank account of between $22,000 and $25,000 a month, every month.
Wait. What do you mean you get a bump in your bank account?
Because of the fulfillment rate. You know, you don't get all your money up front. You get some of your money now, and then as time goes on in the month, you get more money at the end of the month.
Well, where does this money come from?
From the donors. Sustainers, people that are getting their bank account debited for the month-to-month payment.
So, but every sustainer is on a rolling, you know, monthly, depending on when their bank decides to send it out, correct?
That's correct, yeah. And you have different days of the month that it comes through. It doesn't come on all the same day.
That
Bella to the stack, please.
All right. I'm going to go next. Bella, you've spoken quite a few times, let me see. Where
Who's rattling papers?
Okay, so the June P&L was blank for car donations for May and June.
Right. That's correct.
Can somebody please mute who's doing whatever? Hello? Okay, but the GM reported in his fund drive report a number for both of those months. How did that not get on the P&L?
I don't know. He's probably projecting that he was going to receive some money in car donations, and invariably we did not get any car donations.
No, that's not what it said. It said this is the money we received in May and June. Very fancy fund drive chart, you know, bells and whistles. We got it in the middle of July. What it says. How does this happen? I mean,
yeah, I don't know. On the P&L, I don't have any car donations for Kevin Jane.
But the GM reported it in his fund drive chart.
Yeah, you have to talk to him. I don't know about that.
All right.
You had Bella on the stack, I think, and I'd like to get back on after her.
Well, I'm not really finished, but I'll let Bella go because. Anyways, go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. I guess someone else has to say that I am on the stack. I keep talking about an accounts receivable, rolling accounts receivable, which is clearly necessary. The fact that the bank account gets a bump every month is indicative of a rolling accounts receivable. Now, these are funds that are on a bill me schedule, which every month gets debited from different people's accounts. They're the ones that decide what day of the month they want the money taken out. But this has to be set up on an accounts receivable schedule, just like an accounts payable schedule, so that we can then properly budget, so that we can properly know what our cash flow will be every given month. And we have not been doing that ever. So monies just show up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden you have an increase every month, and then people want to know why, or no increase, and people want to know why. So if we were doing the proper accounting ledging, then we would know how much expected additional funds are to be coming in somewhere averaging part of the month. And that's accounts receivable. And then there's the other side of the actual bill me, which people do not pay with credit card. I mean, those pledges seem to go into a dark hole. And Allegiant is not accounting for them. I have asked the question several times. How will Allegiant account for this? Thank
okay,
you.
Bella, let me just interject there with Bella has her question.
Yeah.
Revenue on a revenue basis, Bella, we're on a cash basis, okay? In the expenditure side, we're on an accrual basis. So that's why we don't accrue for accounts receivable. Okay?
I already know that, Barry, and we need
Thank
to change
you.
That.
All right, Bella. Thank you. Michael Novick, and then me.
Okay, so I'll try one more time. I'm looking at three documents at this point. The first one is the Pacifica P&L financial statements through May 31st. That has all the stations. And looking at KPFK, it says that in May, listener support amounted to $166,881.68.
Wait. Okay, this is May 31st.
It's the May 531-2020. Pacifica P&L financial statements. It's line 8 listener support for KPFK.
Is what?
$166,881.68. In the month of May.
P&L. 66882. Right. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Right. Looking at the June. P&L.
Oh yes, right.
The May figure for June in the June P&L is 113,184. One of the figures is different for the previous months. The June P&L shows April of 70,000. The May P&L shows April of 96,000. The June P&L shows March of 194,000. The May P&L shows 110,000. I don't understand why and every one of the figures is different than the previous month's P&L. I don't understand how that can happen. Comparing
Michael, look up the line below. This is where he's gone back in and pulled out what he says is web income. So, it's a big problem.
Still doesn't correspond. If you look in May, 113 plus 68 is 191. And in June, it shows 100. In May, it shows 166. I'm not faulting back. I don't understand how NETA can keep producing completely different figures from one month to the next for all the previous months.
Yep.
Looking at the two of them compared to the budget, the last budget document. Let me just finish what I'm saying so I can get it clear to everyone I'm talking about, because a lot of people don't have the figures in front of them. But the last document that we got from Anyel for the budget for next year, but it shows May, June, July, and August of this year and September, which is a projection. The May figure for listen support on the document we got is $396,000, which has no basis in fact. The June figure is $213,000, which is not as good actually as the June figure on the June P&L. It's impossible to do this if every time you look at a set of figures, they're completely different from any previous or subsequent set of figures with no explanation as to why.
I'll tell you why, Michael. I'll tell you why. Just like today, July, I have done the P&L for July, but the books have not closed for July according to NETA. They're still making entries. So when you see a number that I have produced for you for P&L, then 3 days later, the numbers change because they've made an entry to it because the books are not closed for July yet. That's why you see differences.
Barry, the books never close because you went in a month or two ago and changed all of 2019 and broke out this web income, this magical web income.
Okay. Can I interject here, Kim? The reason being for that is revenue does not change. Total revenue does not change. That's just a reclassification of revenue. Total revenue is still the same. Those entries that I made did not change revenue. It's just a reclassification out of listener support.
You would not be able to do that. Okay? When the books are closed, you cannot go in and do anything in the previous month or the previous year when they're already pulling this stuff together for the audit.
You can do that as an administrator to the system at Great Plains. If you see that there's something that needs to be reclassified, you can make a reclassification.
I hear what you're saying. I don't agree with it. I think it's bad policy and bad form, whatever. But that's part of our problem is these numbers don't stay static. They change every month. It's like, whoa, what's going on now?
This is Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Barry, is your basic explanation that it's a difference between the cash accounting and accrual?
No.
Has nothing to do with.
Yeah. No. Nope.
No, we're talking about something totally different. We're talking about something totally different now. We're talking about having something in listener support, which is website income, and reclassifying so it has its own bucket for website income. So you can see how much website income we have received. But you don't. That doesn't change the total revenue. It still stays the same. Okay.
Right. So basically, the change is a one-time change when we decided to reclassify, give a line item specifically for website income. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, we didn't decide, Paulina. Barry decided.
By we, I meant KPFK.
No, KPFK did not decide that at all. I'm against it because we cannot compare year-to-year monthly revenue. Because it's apples to oranges.
Again, let me tell you one more time, okay? What I did does not change the total revenue. It just reclassifies the number into a different bucket.
But if you're comparing March to March from last year to this year, you got to add the website back in to compare what it was year to year and the previous year.
That's not so difficult.
Oh, okay, Barry. Thank you. Thank you. Great. Thank you. It's not difficult. I've done it. But I really don't need to have to go back and put it all in just so I can compare apples to apples. But I get it. Should we move on? We've sort of beaten this dead horse. And I'm not even going to really – well, I'll make one more comment that there still is between the bank statements and the reported revenue on the P&L, there's about $200,000 that's not accounted for. Now, some of what Barry said may make sense. Some of it doesn't.
It does make sense, Tim. It does make
Barry,
sense. There's no ifs and buts about it.
I'm not finished.
Go ahead.
Some of it may make sense. To me, some of it definitely doesn't make sense, but we don't know because we don't actually have all the bank accounts. All the bank accounts are not even in the general ledger, okay?
All the bank accounts are in the general ledger.
We only have four accounts in there.
They're all in
plus
there.
The
it's all in
Fargo,
there.
Plus the Wells Fargo, which you say we don't have. I couldn't find the solar account. You know, what we really need is a chart of accounts and a trial balance at the end of the month to show us what's actually in all the banks and what's going in and out of there. Because as far as I can tell...
You have the biggest account, the operating admin account. That's the largest account that has in and out of the money that comes in, of the activity of the station, right there.
Is that $200K is going in and out of savings accounts. So it may be a smaller account, but $200K is a lot that is not accounted for on the P&L.
Tim, I explained that to you in your rebuttal, okay? If you look at the explanation, you can find out what it means, okay?
It doesn't make sense to me.
Then you don't know accounting then, I guess. Because all I got to do is figure it out.
I guess so. What I'm saying No. You said... It's because it's going back and forth to the savings account and because of voided checks. I cannot even imagine how voided checks is even an issue. A void check is zero. How that even becomes an issue beyond me. Why the PayPal money is going into the savings account, not through listener support, is another, like, mystery.
You're wrong, Kim. The PayPal, we make transfers into our operating admin account to cover our expenditures sometimes. It goes from the PayPal account to the operating account, and it does not touch revenue. That's why you cannot reconcile it, because it does not touch the revenue account. It only goes to the operating admin account, okay? All right.
No, that makes no sense. The operating balance. Okay, be quiet. The operating account is where all listener revenue goes through. That's where all listener revenue goes into. The PayPal account isn't going in there. Where is it going? Because that is your website income, obviously. Okay, can we move on, please? We need to address this budget.
Well, this is Michael again. You heard Bella, but I'd like to make this point one last time. Total revenue, forget how it's divided up. In the May P&L, total revenue in May, is listed at $168,000 and change. In the June P&L, total revenue in May is listed as $183,000 and change.
Yep.
And in the budget document that we were given yesterday by Aniel, the total revenue for May of this current fiscal year is shown as $416,000.
Yep.
So,
all just wacky.
Yes, but I'm saying that there's no way to calculate how far in the hole we actually are for this year on the budget, if the budget is predicated on $400,000 in total revenue for May that's non-existent. It's not even half of that.
Yeah,
so that's what I think.
I don't think they're using those numbers. I don't know what they're basing. Look, it doesn't matter. I don't know what they're basing these numbers on. It doesn't matter. If we don't have a fund drive chart and a documented, list of, sustainers per month, and these other things, this is all just, fantasy revenue, without anything. I mean, those 4 months, projected it's bad. Take it out, Michael. Don't even bother with it. Bad money. It's just bad. I think it's left over from the year before that, and nobody's looked at it except for me. And it's just bad numbers. But we need a fund drive chart. Otherwise, all of this revenue is completely fantasy. And that's not to, the website income is just growing supersonically. I mean, I have always sort of calculated around 10% was website. In the GM's fund drive chart for May and June, he said there. The fund drive, the website income for this period is 9.6%. Okay, so that's, that about, goes with what I've assumed is about correct. Now in this new budget, it's up to, 15 or 20% with absolutely just no documentation for where this is coming from.
So let me get this right, Kim. If somebody projects a 9% amount of website income, and then the actual number comes in at 15%, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Barry, you're projecting something onto next year at 15%,
right,
which this year and for the last 10 years has been about 10%. That's fantasy revenue. We have insisted that I'll get to you, Paulina. We have insisted that revenue is based on historical data, not, we're going to make 15% next year. If it's 10% now, it's 10% next year, until proven differently. Paulina, please go ahead.
This is Dave.
Yes, thank you.
I think you had Bella again, too.
Did I speak, though?
Yes.
Thank you. I believe that the whole reconfiguration of the way we're producing under COVID has made played a major role in throwing off the figures and changing them. You know, we know that many major media right now, NPR is laying off people all the time. They're losing their revenue from listener support because listeners have nothing to donate. Now we're doing, I believe we are doing as good a job as we can to raise money. Of course we can always do better. Now, the fact that these numbers are different, of course they're different. Of course we're making more, I have a lot of noise somewhere coming from, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's me or someone else, but I'm just hearing it in my ear. The fact that these things are changing should be part of the model. I'm wondering why we are not using a budgeting model to model to project, right? To do projections for the year. I'm sure we are. It's just that, of course, projected numbers cannot just be taken from the previous month of this, of the year. Let's say if in October of 2019 we made X on the fund drive, we should be expecting to make the same next year. No, there should be more sophisticated models. And I'm wondering, Barry, if you can answer, what tools do we have in our toolbox to make more sophisticated projections for revenue for following years? Thank you.
Yes. You usually use your historical numbers to project what your numbers are going to be in the future. But when you have a pandemic, I mean, that's really hard to quantify in a budget template, to try to quantify how much money you're going to raise because of the pandemic. Now, we're hoping that we come out of the pandemic around April. That's what I think is going to happen, that we'll get a vaccine around maybe December or January, and that it will be good for the whole society at hand. And
next
then
year,
we can probably come out of, in April of 21, we probably can come out of the pandemic. I'm hoping. I'm an optimistic type of guy, so I'm thinking that's what I think. So as far as getting back to your question, Paulina, there is nothing in the budget template that would actually quantify a world pandemic. I mean, it's hard to actually quantify that. So you don't know. There's going to be a reduction in the revenue, but how much you don't really know. You just don't know. You try to come up with the number that you possibly could come up with based on historical number and based on what the pandemic is. I mean, you know, KPFK made a large percentage of its revenue on drive time in the morning. So you have all these people who are being quarantined, and there are nobody, the percentage of people that are on the freeways that are dialing into their radios has gone drastically down. And that has really been a drastic decrease in our revenue.
Okay. I'll just state that I have made projections for 10 years, Paulina. I've done it. They've been accurate. I know how to do this because in order for me to analyze a budget, I have to make projections. So I have done it successfully. This is not it. Obviously, we have a change of conditions. You have to be nimble and deal with the change of conditions. That's sort of obvious. Who is next? I think
Jim,
I know
question.
Bella is on the stack,
Jim,
but Dave Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very sorry. Dave. Very quick follow up. Because I didn't get, thank you, Barry, for the answer, but a very quick follow-up to both of you, to Kim and to Barry. What is the mechanism, meaning what is the algorithm? What algorithm?
There is no algorithm. There is no algorithm. it's basic math, Paulina. It's basic math. If I can figure it out, I can guarantee you there's no algorithm. I'll explain it to you or anybody else. What?
Algorithm is math, is basic math. An algorithm.
Not my
is
kind of
math,
honey. I'm doing arithmetic. Let me put it that way. I'm doing simple arithmetic, and it's worked out pretty well.
Paulina, it's
Paulina, one thing you have to have is a fund drive chart. That's one tool that you absolutely need in order to make revenue or listener support projections. We don't have that, and we haven't had it for 3 years. We don't have it for this budget either. So, it's all there. Nobody's really projecting based on any kind of that. I mean, I don't know whether it's an algorithm or basic arithmetic, but that's your tool for projecting revenue. Look, I just did, while we were talking, the calculation, the arithmetic of you have $210,000 divided by 15 days, that's $14,000 a day. That's your number. That's your base number going forward.
Absolutely.
That's your base. That's my algorithm, Paulina. I mean, that's as sophisticated as my, math goes. It served me well over the years. Plus, you have to take fulfillment out of that. So management cannot even do that for us, nor have they done it in 3 years. So I don't know what to say. I can say it's going to be 14K a day, but I can't say how many days they're planning on doing it or what days. That's something I can, anyways, I'm done. I think I know Bella's on there, but Dave hasn't spoken yet.
Thank you. Just for the record, Dr. Fauci was interviewed on ABC News 2 days ago, and he suggested it would take 24 months before the country was vaccinated because it takes time to develop. He says there's not even going to be a good vaccine until January. Then it takes time to produce. Then it takes time to ship. Then it takes time for people to get the vaccinations. And he said the country wouldn't be vaccinated for 24 months. So we maybe need to keep that in mind a little bit. And that did come from Dr. Fauci on ABC News, and it's available to look at again on YouTube. I had a question, Barry. Did you say a few minutes ago that the website income was projected to go up from $10,000 to $15,000 a month?
I didn't say that, no. I know that the website income has been increasing. That has been a positive attribute for us in the last couple of months. So I didn't say $15,000 a month, no.
Okay. What do you attribute the increase in website income? Why is that going to happen? Why is that happening?
Well, because you have more people at home that are looking on the computer instead of on the radio, and they're making contributions via the computer on websites. They're streaming the internet, and that's what I attribute to more people at home because of the quarantine.
Now, on Allegiant, how many people are learning the Allegiant software right now? You mentioned the membership department. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, once the software was uploaded to our system and all the data was uploaded, Terry Guy and Donna Walker were the ones that were in the training sessions with Allegiant. So they're the ones.
So in the station, there's basically two people that are learning that right now, or is that what?
They've actually finished their training, and they are now interfacing with the tech people from Allegiance to try to get our reporting numbers and the way the portal comes out to our liking.
And how long have they been in that phase of the training and implementation? How long has that been in that phase?
I believe it started in May, the latter part of May, and went to the first week in June, I believe it was. It was like for 3 weeks or something like that. I can't shifted exactly.
So using those figures, then, we've been in this mode where it's not fully operational and we're still trying to get the bugs out for over 2 months.
Apparently so. Now, yeah, I'm as frustrated as you are as far as the reporting.
Yeah, because the question I'm going to ask you is, when is it projected that this will be fully operational, that we've gotten assistance from the Allegiance people, and that we'll be out of this getting the bugs worked out mode? When will that
happen? Yeah, I would hope it would be fully operational at the next fund drive. It would be October 3rd, I would think. That's what I think. But you have to talk to Terry. You can ask him. He can better tell you when is it going to be like that.
Well, the finance committee doesn't interface with the members and membership. We basically have access to you and the general.
Okay, well, you know, I'll ask him. I will ask him, and then the next finance committee meeting, I'll tell you what he said.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's helpful for us to get an update on that, Barry.
Okay, yes, I'll tell you.
Yeah, thank you. On card donations, you mentioned there were a couple of months where there were no card donations. Is there a chance that they're just not been reported properly, like the car donation company or something like that? In other words, are we going to see a month or two with zero donations and then a big spike because they're getting caught up with the figures? Is anything like that probable?
That's probable, yes, because I noticed that we haven't been getting any checks for car donations in the last 3 weeks. So I noticed that we have not gotten any sizable amount of donations that way. So that's possible, yes.
It might even take a follow-up phone call for us to call the car donations people or something to find out what's going on in case they've had a problem or they've got their person that handles our account out with COVID or something like that. I guess something like that is possible, would you say?
Yes, definitely. That could be because of COVID, yes.
Now, I just want to mention that I donated a car last year to the KPFK car donations company. I have been calling them constantly tax time to try to get a receipt for my donation. I have talked to people there, and they promised that they would send it. And it's been a couple of months now where I've been starting to make phone calls because I was supposed to get this in January or after the first of the year, and I've never received my receipt from these people. Now, another question is the general manager with the COVID and the reduced staff, is the general manager coming into KPFK?
I come in once a week, and I see him every once in a while, but I don't know his schedule as to how many times he comes into the station or nothing like that. So I don't know.
Yeah, I was wondering. Are you at the station, or are you operating from home today, Barry?
I'm operating from home today, yes.
Okay,
remotely.
So it's possible the general manager, the program director, and others would be operating from home. But is Terry Gott and our membership department, do they physically have to come in and work in the membership office?
As far as I know, Terry and Donna are there every day. So I don't know why. I don't know why they're there every day. Yeah.
Okay. Do we only have those two people working in the membership department at this time?
As far as I know, I think Kiana Williams comes in too, not every day, but every once in a while, part time. And then let's see. And then some of the programmers, when their programs are being aired, I see them coming in.
Okay, but in terms of the membership department that's wrangling with Allegiance, it's essentially two people full time, and then they get a little help occasionally part time.
Right, and then Rita Nader, she's there too in the membership department. She comes in every part time too, I think, because I don't see her there every day.
So Rita is working part time for us in the membership department?
I don't know. I don't know her schedule, but the days that I come in, sometimes I see her and sometimes I don't.
Okay. I just wanted to get an idea on that. You know, we have a lot of questions that even tonight you have mentioned would have to be answered by the general manager.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the general manager ever attend the finance committee meetings?
You don't have to talk to him about that specifically, but he has expressed to me that the finance committee is kind of dysfunctional and, you know, there's a lot of bickering going back and forth, and he seems to think that they're targeting him as far as, you know, his ability to do his job and all that. So He's really picking up.
Does he understand that there are finance committee members like myself that have been donating at least a couple, 2 or 3 hours a month? And I've been on the committee and donated my time since January of 2013. Does he realize that there's a group of pretty dedicated KPFK volunteers that come in and make the effort to participate in these meetings, and that we would like to have the courtesy and respect of this? Do you know if he's aware of that?
I think he is, yes. And I think what he does is that he just basically concentrates on the LSB meetings. So he would rather just go to the LSB meetings and do the reporting and all the responsibilities that he has to do and the tasks that he's responsible for and report to the LSB.
I see. So then that means he must be extremely familiar with financial concepts. Like myself, who has 2 or 3 degrees in business administration, he must have obviously taken college courses in finance and accounting and other factors so that he doesn't need the benefit of our suggestions. Is that how he feels?
I don't know. You'd have to talk to him about that. I can't speak for him.
And does he attend all the LSB meetings?
As far as I know, he does. He tries to go to all the LSB meetings, yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
To answer Dave, Kim, can I answer Dave? He attended the last 2 months' LSB meetings.
Thank you, Fred. But prior to the last two, what's his schedule, what's been his record as far as attending LSB meetings?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Prior to the last 2 months, as you stated, what has been his record on attending LSB meetings? Since he's dedicating his time to LSB meetings and doesn't bother coming to finance committee meetings.
The previous, I think it was about a year before, once a year or so that he has attended the LSB meetings.
Thank you. That's all I had, Kim.
All right. I know Bella's on the stack, and we really need to move to this budget issue. Bella, do you have anything to add to what we're talking about? Bella?
Kim?
Okay.
Looking on Maestro, Bella is really not present. There's somebody else using her number.
What do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean?
She gives out her number to her PIN code to another friend. So there's usually two persons with the name Bill on the here, but she's appeared to have dropped off.
Well, we need to deal with the budget.
This is Michael Center, a bridge between what we've been talking about and the budget. So looking at the
Michael, let me speak first, okay?
Okay, go ahead, fine. Every time I say something, you want to jump on it, go ahead first.
What I want to say is that, you know, we spent 3 meetings going over the budget in July. I wrote up all of our suggestions, and maybe none of them were adapted to this new budget. So that's one of the areas, you know, I want to focus on in the next couple of minutes. That's what I want to say to now that we're moving into the budget and what to do about that. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. No, I appreciate the work you put into it. I really appreciated the document you sent with all the points of discrepancy, and I have been looking at them. I'm still trying to get a handle on the figures, and it goes to the projections, because if we don't – so here's the thing. The total revenue through May 31st on the P&L was just a little bit over $2 million. Total revenue on June 31st, according to the P&L, was $2,331,000. So it was a little over $320,000 in revenue, total revenue in that month. On the figures that Barry just gave us, he said the total revenue through July 31st was $2,478,275. That means between June 31st and July 31st, total revenue only increased by $146,000 in the entire month. So if that's the baseline that we're projecting forward, you know, the budget we have to come up with going ahead has to be somewhere in the $150,000, $180,000 range a month in expenses that we can actually guarantee that we can meet. In his document, he says that the projected budget, projected total revenue for the year that we're in 2020, fiscal year 2020, was $3,000,004, and we're not going to reach it. So looking at what we have, which is about $2,500,000 at the end of July, even if we raise, you know, a couple of $250,000 a month, we're not even going to get, we won't even get to we might be to $2,900,000 by the end of the year if we're lucky. That means we're $500,000 shy in the current fiscal year. We need to have a budget for the upcoming fiscal year that's more than $500 million less in total expenditures than the current fiscal year.
Right. Right.
Because the current fiscal year is a steadily, $600,000 to $700,000 less in total expenditures for the upcoming fiscal year is what we have to try to come up with. You want to call us?
What? Hello?
I'm sorry, I muted myself. I said, I don't care what percentages are, we have to come up with a budget for the upcoming fiscal year that's probably about $750,000 less than the budget through fiscal year 2020. $750,000 less in expenses because we can anticipate probably that much less, at least that much less in revenue.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I mean, that's the bigger picture. You know, the smaller picture is that the expenses are still wishful thinking. I mean, you make cuts where you can't make cuts. You still haven't put in the election expenses. You still haven't put in the expenses for the ratings, for example.
KPFK doesn't pay election expenses. We haven't paid that in a long time. The National Office pays for that.
Oh, Barry, just look on last year's expenses. It's on there. Just look at it. It's on there. It's like,
I know I haven't paid it.
What?
I didn't pay it. I didn't pay it.
Well, it's on the P&L. And so it's got to go in the budget.
Hello? Is anyone there?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Grace, you're on here twice. Is Ken using one of your lines or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you want to be on the stack, Grace?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, in 2019, there were legal expenses that were paid by the national office that should have been billed back to KPFK, but were not. Principally, there was a raffle that triggered an investigation by the California Deputy Attorney General, and the legal expenses related to that were not billed back to KPFK, and there were other legal
expenses regarding underwriting. So we have to understand that. And also, there is no election this year. Pacifica holds elections for local station board members 2 out of every 3 years. This year, there are no election expenses, but next year, fiscal year 2021, there will be. So that should be factored in.
Right. That's why I said they're not in the budget. We went through that.
In the budget.
We went through that last month.
Right.
That was just, you know, and we agreed that that should be put in there. These are just the big items that were not addressed based on our conversations last month.
The other thing
is,
there's one other thing, and that is that I believe I heard, scratch that. I'm done.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this budget is no better than the previous budget. You know, they may have cut some off the personnel, but we need all these corrections that I detailed out there, because right now you're making cuts that are not warranted. You've cut the website expenses by 90%. That doesn't even make sense. For example. You can't just say the utilities are going to be lower when they're not going to be. Or the telephone. You haven't put in Telerep or whatever service you're using. That's not in there. These are big chunk expenses that need to be addressed before we can even look at cuts. Because there's just either sloppiness or wishful thinking about the numbers for practically, I mean, I have comments from the new budget on just about every line item. You know, I don't want to bore people by going through them again because they're pretty much the same as I made last time. So I don't know what the time frame is in terms of, you know, what we're going to do. I mean, does this, you know, go to the LSB this weekend? What's the point of that? Are we going to get a better budget from management? I don't know. I mean, we didn't get much of a difference between last month and this month. You know, if it doesn't get fixed locally and it goes to national, they are even less equipped to make a good budget. And you know, I know the treasurer doesn't want to get in the weeds, but that is what budget is about. That is what budget making is about. Getting in the weeds. And if nobody wants to do it, well, then I just, you know, throw up my hands and say, well, you take the votes, you know, you got the fiduciary responsibility, I did the best I could, and you know, move on. But what does the group want to do?
Janine to the staff.
Go ahead, Janine.
This has been brought up at the LSB as well, but is there any way to do a motion? I know this is do a motion to get a bookkeeper in that can give us reports that we need to make once a week or something like that knows the software. I know that this is just a real general statement, but what does it take in order to do that?
Barry is the bookkeeper.
Right.
Right, but the reports aren't, I mean, we've never gotten a general ledger. So, you know, we don't know how to cut costs if we can't see everything going out the door. So,
well,
if we had a bookkeeper.
Sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's just if we had a bookkeeper, it's a relatively small amount of money to be able to get the numbers that we need to make the recommendations.
Okay, Janine, we have gotten the general ledger. I've sent it out to everyone. I have gone over it. I have spoken about it. I have seen what's where the expenses are in all the line items. I have detailed them on, you know, my budget notes. I've explained it to the committee in the three meetings last month. I know what's wrong here. I know that there's a lot of things in the wrong categories. And so I don't, you know, we don't, I mean.
But couldn't someone move it from one place to the other? Or, you know what I mean, put them in the right spot?
Janine, this is Barry Brooks. That's what's being done. If anything is being put in the wrong bucket, it gets reclassified into the right bucket, okay, for all the expenditures that KPFK endures per month. So all the expenditures are put in the general ledger. I gave Tim Kaufman a copy of 3 years of general ledger. You can go through that if you'd like, but of course, through the auspices of making entries every month, sometimes you make a mistake, so you have to reclassify it to the right account. Okay, so that's how it goes. Even when the audit is being brought forth, there are going to be certain entries that may not be correct, and you do a reclassification. That is part of accounting. Okay, so that's what I have to say.
Okay, I didn't know that we had ever received a general ledger. Did it just go to you?
No, it went to Kim Kaufman. They did a station inspection. So I gave her copies of 2018, 2019, and 2020's general ledger.
Okay. I guess I'm just suggesting that there's some assistance so that the report could be presented in the way that the Finance Committee is asking.
I don't know how you're going to hire somebody else because we barely have enough money to pay the people we have now.
Well, it would be money well spent to be able to get financials so that we could go out and get grants. And so on. I mean, it's a catch 22. I know I've been gone the last two meetings, so I don't mean to just blurt this out. I just feel like, you know, if somebody were to assist and be able to get financials looking like they should, so that we can go out and get, you know, grants, then that would solve a lot of problems. But we're still.
Janine, I think that's what Nina's trying to do is to get all this put together for not only us, but for all the stations. So we can go get grants again, like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that used to give us $1 million a year. So I think it's a work.
Yeah, I guess it's just taking so long. I mean, it's been like, you know, I mean, if we could just do our station on our end.
It's been a mess.
I know.
Like, so long, in part.
Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry. I think my phone just gets tired after X amount of time.
I'm just trying to come up with a solution. That's why I'm bringing this up, because otherwise we're just doing the same thing every month. I mean, this sounds like the May call.
Okay,
good.
Well. I mean, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm not willing to do it. You know, I don't see this as something to move forward on. Does anybody else have any ideas? Is anybody there? Is anybody paying attention?
Yeah, this is Michael. I'm trying to do a little calculation on paper. Give me a minute.
Well, and this is Steve. One thing that we're working on this task force is trying to develop strategies and movements where we can go and ask people with a lot of money to embrace our mission and to support us. So we're making some inroads on that, and I'm very optimistic about that. Michael is also on that committee. So it'd be nice if we could brainstorm more about fundraising specifically, seeing fundraising is our major problem, our core problem, which goes back to programming, too, that we're obviously not broadcasting what people want to listen to and support as much as they used to. But other than talking, I don't know how we can cure that.
Okay. What do we want to do about this budget? Can I get some suggestions?
Well, you've already made a suggestion, and Daniel has made a suggestion. We've got two suggestions for our budget. They've been sent to National to look at. They haven't responded yet by today. But we've got to adopt one of those. The LSB has to adopt it next week.
Well, Fred, what is the timeline? I mean, or Grace, what is the timeline? Is your anticipation that it's going to the LSB this weekend, or is there another week to wait and see if we get a better budget by next month? Hello?
No, we got two budgets. You gave one, and Annual gave one, and I printed them side by side and distributed them to you. You can take and mix and match. But there is a budget there.
Michael Novastak, this is not in the weeds. It's a big picture proposal. The big picture proposal is that we are recommending a budget based on the following: anticipated total listen support revenue of $1,890,000. That's based on 6 21-day fund drives, October, December, February, April, June, and August. That's a total of 126 days. At $15,000 a day, that's $1,890,000 in listener revenue, and an additional $800,000 in other revenue, for a total income of $2,690,000. And that I don't have the cuts that have to be made to accommodate that, but that we are looking for a balanced budget based on $2,690,000 in total revenue for the station in fiscal year 2021.
I just fell off and got back on. Michael, what
Okay, I'll repeat it briefly. I'm saying we recommend a balanced budget for the station based on $2,690,000.
Where'd you get the 2.6? Where'd you get the 2.6?
I'm about to tell you. It's based on 6 21-day fund drives. Six 21-day fund drives. October, December, February, April, June, and August. For a total of 126 days of fund drives, on-air fund drives, $15,000 a day, to raise $1,890,000 in listener revenue, and anticipating about $800,000 in additional revenue, for a total of $2,690,000.
Is Barry still on this call? I'd like to find out from Barry.
Are you?
Yes.
I am.
Okay. Let me just say something.
So let me just interject what Michael just said.
No. Let me interject something first, because Michael forgot fulfillment. So our fulfillment is what, 90%? You're only going to get 90% of that listener support, Michael.
No, our fulfillment is not 90%. It's not 90%. Fulfillment is like 84%. It's not 90%.
Well, that's even worse. Okay, so you got to take 1.8. You know, 1.9 times 84%, and that comes out to where'd my thing go? Well, a lot lower.
Nope, no problem.
I'll do it. Hang on a second.
Well, Barry, what's it reasonable to expect to get on the Fund Drive day after you take out that fulfillment?
84%. After you take your fulfillment, it's like, you're like going to probably realize. Michael's going to talk to him, I guess.
No.
Sorry. I was just giving you the figure for if we do 85%, it's $1,606,000. So that would be a total.
The only problem with Michael is saying, which is very good in that he wants to cut the revenue down, and this will support revenue, is that you're not going to have a balanced budget unless you cut. I mean, you'd have to cut like four or five people in the payroll in order to balance the budget. You won't have a balanced budget unless you cut payroll. So that's the only other place you can make a big cut in.
Yes.
That's the only way you can survive in a balanced budget if you cut payroll. And you're talking like three or four people. Let me just say something. You have to also consider that if you cut those people, if you lay those people off, you have to have funds to pay their severance, their vacation, and their pension. So you're talking an average cost per employee of about $23,000 per, give or take a little, on giving them their walking papers. So
we understand that, but you can't make up fantasy numbers. And in terms of this 800,000
fantasy numbers. You know what? Every time I do a budget and then I do where the budget is like at a big loss, you say, well, Barry, we can't have a loss of like $400,000 at the end of the year for the budget. Well,
right.
You're right. But if you cut back a revenue like 30%, then you have to cut back expenses in order to balance the budget. So
we understand that, Barry, but you cannot make up revenue. You cannot.
I'm not making up revenue. I'm not making up revenue. I am actually looking at the parameters of what the society is doing right now. Getting back to Dave Johnson's comment about the vaccine, I believe London has already come up with a vaccine that's going through trials right now. So I don't know how that's going to work.
Let's just stick with the numbers. In here, you're projecting that you're going to get $250,000 of major donor income. I'm not seeing that. Okay? I'm not seeing that. And you have 2.3 in listener support plus $342,000 of website income. And, you know, if you do 126 days, you're looking at 1.6. That's like, you know, $700,000. Barry, you cannot – I mean, where is this revenue going to come from? These are
there's also going to be a mail campaign going out in this month. I don't know if Aniel told you, but there's going to be a mail campaign going out for this month and also in December.
What are you going to get, 20K, 30K?
I don't know
maybe?
How much it's going to be.
Well,
I don't know how much the expenses are,
as I've documented in my notes. We don't know. Those expenses do not make sense. You haven't broken out the postage. You haven't broken out the and put it
the
all in
one place. The postage
is
right there. The postage is in 6732 account, which is a line item.
Barry,
126. Postage is right there for
$28,600. You have zero postage.
I just told you where postage is.
Barry,
it's in line 127.
You have zero postage for premiums.
Postage goes into 6732. That's where it goes. All postage.
No, that's not where it all goes. It gets broken out. We need to have it broken out so we know what we're paying for premiums, so we know what we're paying for mailings. There are six different categories for mailing and postage. And
yeah, that's called premiums and shipping. That's called premiums and shipping and packaging. That's what that is.
No, there are six others, Barry. There are six others.
Ooh,
and there's no...
You know what?
I'm just speaking of the budget, okay, what's on the budget, okay? Line 135 says premiums from PRA. Line 136 says premiums from other vendors. And line 137 says premiums, shipping, and packaging, okay? And there are numbers in there.
Mm-hmm. Those numbers are extremely low. And what has been in the general ledger for the last couple of years was not postage. It was just packaging from Uline. That's all that's been in the general ledger, not postage.
This is Grace. I have a request for information.
Go ahead.
Barry, exactly what are the severance costs? In other words,
it's usually, I believe, it's like you get 2 weeks of pay for every year of service.
2 weeks of pay for every year of service.
Correct.
Okay, and that's the total. That's the total severance.
Well,
In addition to the vacation and the pension you have to pay out.
Okay, so if a person has only worked for KPFK for a year and 2 months, their severance is not that great. Am I correct? It'd be the equivalent.
If they've only been there for a year, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But there's people there that have been there for a long time.
Yeah.
The programmers.
That's true. But what I'm saying is that it's not necessarily going to be $22,000 for each employer or $23,000 for each employee who may be laid off or taken early, whatever.
No, each case will be different. Yes, you're right.
Okay. So wait a second. The severance includes vacation and 2 weeks severance for each year worked.
And that's only vacation they haven't taken, Grace, because a lot of people don't take their full vacation days.
Understood. Owed vacation. All right. So, and that's in the union contract, I believe.
Does
the union contract include management staff and others?
No.
Okay, so what severance does management staff get?
Whatever they can.
I believe it's the same. I believe it stands out. You get 2 weeks' pay for every year that you've been there.
Okay. So.
No way.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know that there's a policy on that. What?
One thing is a union benefit. The other thing is negotiable. There's no way that management gets the staff gets if they lose their job.
Right. The other thing is we haven't seen any of these allegiance costs anywhere on the P&Ls or in the budget. So that's a big unknown of what's probably a large expense. What? Somebody want to get on the stack?
Well, Kim, I think the answer to this problem of not knowing what we're doing with the money is to have what I suggested to you, have you put on a seminar, and we all work together on trying to develop a flow chart of how the money flows through the Pacific, through the KPFK system. I'd sure like it if we'd get free of NEDA and do it all ourselves. I don't know whether we can do that or not. But it would sure be good to get a chart of how it's going so we know how to avoid making these errors and putting things in the wrong place.
If that's the motion, I second it.
Yeah, I like the idea, too.
Well, I'm afraid it's going to have to mean getting within 6 feet physically if we're going to actually work these things out together. That's what worries me about it.
Yeah.
Well,
actually, Alan, since I'm 77 with three risk factors, I study COVID on a daily basis, and it looks like there's been some breakthroughs. The government probably won't give them to us, but In Australia now, they're getting 100% success, and also some studies that came out of Australia. And I can tell you about that after the meeting here. But basically, if we can just get probably go buy some medicine from a veterinarian and take the pet medicine ourselves, I think we can go around and be successful. I'm about ready to break out of here. I've been confined for 8 months. I'm ready for some freedom. Because I think I see the path. I might have to drive to Mexico and buy some drugs or something. The fact is the government's not going to give us to us. The vaccines have problems. I don't trust the vaccines. But I think I see the path open now, and I've made the breakthrough in the last couple of days. I'm very happy about this. So there may be a possibility, but let's just talk about it later on. But just don't despair immediately about this.
Well, somebody make a suggestion of when would be a good time for us to get together and work on this. It seems to me that Barry's office is the place to begin. Is Barry still on the call?
Yeah. Alan, I think the safest thing is outdoors on a windy day.
Yeah. April 2021.
Yeah, we're still under quarantine, Alan, so we can't come together right now. That virus is still out there.
What, Fred or Grace, what is your expectation of when this budget should go to the LSB?
Well, Kim, this budget is not ready for the LSB.
Well, next Sunday is their deadline to approve it.
No, it
isn't. Has to go by the Thursday.
Where do you get that deadline?
Might be Saturday. I want to make a motion. Yes. I want to make a motion from the Finance Committee to the LSB. So I'll repeat the figures again with the 85%. We propose that management produce a budget that balances with the following revenue figures.
Are you writing this down, Michael, and you'll send it to us?
Yes, I will write it down. We produce a budget with the following revenue figures based on 6 21-day fund drives in October, December, February, April, June, and August, with a total revenue at 85% of $1,606,000 in listener revenue.
At $15,000 a day.
$15,000 a day, 126 days, 85%.
Right.
$1,606,000 in listener revenue and $800,000 in additional station revenue, the total revenue for the station for the fiscal year of $2,406,000. So
question?
This would be a proposal. Yes.
The question I have is that, apropos Grace's comment, that independent of what we do with revenue and projection of revenue, I like what you're doing with projection of revenue. Grace said that the PNB has mandated that expenses must be reduced by 30% or more. So the fact is that that number is a hard number, because if that requires a reduction in staff, in full-time equivalents, then that's going to drive severance costs, and that number needs to be calculated as part of this budget process, complementary with your revenue calculation.
We haven't gotten to revenue yet. My question is, if I may...
No, wait a minute. Wait, excuse me. That is revenue. He's talking about projection of revenue based on...
expenses yet. We haven't gotten to expenses yet. Let's just finish with his revenue. My question is, where is this $800,000 coming from? Because I'm not seeing that.
Wait a minute, what $800,000? He's talking about $15K a day, 85%.
Let him answer.
Yeah. In fiscal year 2019, we had $2,627,000 in listener support, and we had $3,681,000 in total revenue. So that was over a million.
Michael, $600,000 of that was Bequest and major donor.
Yeah.
Almost $600,000.
Okay, let me finish.
In fiscal year 20 to date, we had to date over $600,000 in other revenue. That was through June 30th.
Michael, line number and column, please. I want to look at the document in front of me here.
Okay, I'm looking at the Pacifica P&L financials for 6/30 of 2020. I'm looking at KPFK.
Okay.
It's line 19, which is total revenue. Total
and
revenue,
you have 2.331, right?
2.331 compared to
right.
Listener report of 1,766.
No,
so that's,
no, you're forgetting that $350,000 of website. If you believe that number, which I don't, because that's almost 20%. I don't believe that number. We've seen no documentation of that number. It just appeared magically. So I don't know what that, you know, what, you
okay.
know. So I'm saying other than that, you know, those two numbers, the listener support and website income, I don't see much of anything. I see $62,000 in major donor, $64,000 in car donations, $19,000 in sponsorship, $15,000 in community events, and $51,000 in grant income. You know, I didn't add that up, but that certainly doesn't look like $800,000 to me.
Well, Manuel is predicting $2.3 million in his listener support for a year. Kim is predicting just exactly $2 million.
I'm not predicting anything. I didn't change their numbers because I didn't have any. I just that's their numbers in there. That's not my prediction. Michael
okay.
Novick right now is making a prediction, and where he's making
I am putting numbers
happen.
In, and I explain why what I put in. I'm predicting 1,606,000 in listener support,
right?
Based on what I just said,
right?
6 21-day fund drives, 126 days, 15,000 a day, 85%.
Right.
It depends on what's reasonable to expect
Alan,
for
Alan,
a listener
Alan,
day.
Alan, let Michael finish, please.
I'm just saying that seems like you can justify it, you can ground it,
yes.
It's based on the historical experience. The
no
question
problem.
Is how much additional revenue?
Right.
Is, again,
I'm not seeing $800,000 in other revenue.
Well, I'm going by the two previous years. So you want to cut it further? You're welcome to amend. That's my motion. My motion is a total of roughly $2,400,000 in total revenue, and the expenses have to match it. If we're looking at a budget of the last year, supposedly was 3.8. What was total expenses for?
3.6.
Okay, 2019, which is the last school year, we had 3.8 in total expenses. And let's say, I don't know, this year it's going to be less than that, obviously. We had 2.7 and three more months.
It's only 2.6 last year.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
It's only 2.6. Somebody pulled out the $100,000 that was in major donor. So we had almost...
I'm talking about expenses. Expenses.
Oh, okay.
So that's 30%. I'm just curious based on the question. If we're saying we're going to cut 30% from 3.6, what are we cutting? 800, 900...
Michael, you're in line 35? You're in line 35?
Line 35. So
It all depends on what is reasonable to ask for a single day's fund drive. Barry, what is it reasonable to expect for one fund drive day?
I think on average, you're probably going to expect somewhere in the neighborhood around $13,000.
Okay, thank you. I think on that $13,000, we can build our expected income, because the fund drives is the biggest part of it, somewhere over 70%, maybe 80%.
Well, I'm giving you my figures. I'm assuming that if we actually cut the number of fund drive days, we actually will produce a slight bump in per day revenue, because historically, as we've added days, we've lost revenue. So if we subtract days, we might increase it. But here's the point. If we said that this year we had about 3.6 million in expenses, and we cut that 30%, we're going to cut out 1.08 million. That's so about 2.5. That's expenses of about 2.5 million. This projects 2.4 million in revenue. So a balanced budget to answer John Wenger's question would require a cut of a little over 30% in expenses, about 30, maybe 32% cut in expenses to balance the budget of 2.4 million in revenue.
That 30% thing is hard to get meaning to, because you don't know what basis you're starting from.
I'm saying, I just told you the basis. We spent about we're going to spend about $3.6 million this year. 30% of that is 1.08. You subtract 1.08 from 3.6 and you get 2.52. 2,520,000, that would be a 30% cut in the current expenses. The budget I'm proposing has an income of only 2.4 million. That means we would have to cut a little more than 30%, about 32%, to have a balanced budget to bring 3.6 million down to 2.4 million. So that's my proposal.
I think that's a good proposal.
Can you send that to us, Michael?
Yes,
number one.
Okay.
Number two. So it sounds like the only person who's engaged here is Michael Novick. So, Michael, is it your expectation that we're not going to send this to the LSB for this weekend and let them not approve it?
No, I want to send this motion to the LSB. I want to send this motion to the LSB, and I want the LSB to pass this motion to the management.
Okay. But it's not going to the LSB for a non-approval. Like, we run out of time. We're just not approving this. It's going up to national. So, here's my second question.
Okay, yeah. Yes, that the LSB not approve the most recent budget from management and propose the following and send it on.
But do we want – I set a continuation meeting for next week. Do we want to have another meeting? Hopefully, if we get another budget from management. I mean, do we want to play this out for another month or just wash our hands of it and say, well – you know, management is uncooperative, basically.
I support Michael's motion.
Management has been cooperative, at least I have been cooperative with you guys ever since I have started here. So that is not true. I wish you'd stop making accusations that are not true.
Barry,
stop it.
You haven't made any of the corrections that we sent you.
I have made corrections to the expenses, to the telephone expense, to the premium. I have made adjustments. So stop saying that.
Barry, you know, Allegiance isn't in there. Telerep isn't in there. The postage is messed up. You know, I think you've cut premiums too low. You don't have election expenses in there. The what else was there? There's another big one. The rating service isn't in there. You know, you've cut website income to a point where it doesn't, you know, it's silly. And you can't cut utilities. There's just, you know, I wrote every single line item, and they've all basically been, you know, ignored.
Okay. Do you want to get together tomorrow?
There have been cuts made to the budget that was presented to the Finance Committee the first time. There's been revision. So stop saying that.
Steve to the stack.
You want to have it? Line by line last night, Barry.
John into the queue.
Oh, God.
John into the queue. Kim, John into the queue. Got to be recognized.
Okay. I heard Steve Kaiser, and then I heard Wenger. Now, there is a governance meeting at 7 o'clock, so we only have a half an hour, you know. So we want to sort of wrap this up and move it along. There's still two motions on this agenda that we may not get to. One of them we should. So,
I just say, Kim, it doesn't do any good to abuse Barry. I think we're really blessed to have him there. He's a competent person who's been doing his best. And, you know, management's not going to make this happen. A real problem is raising revenues, and we're just not being responded to by the audience like we have in the past. So it doesn't do any good to abuse each other. We have to work cooperatively and respect each other on an emotional level so that we keep, you know, feel that we want to keep engaged and helping each other get through this. But our real problem is in the revenue side. I mean, cutting 30% on a bare bones KPFK, it's really difficult to happen. We should identify certain expenses one by one. Like I've consistently recommended that we do away with the pension plan. We're not compelled to have that. So, and I know it's kind of heartless, but, you know, we got to survive, and we're in a survival mode. That's all for now. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, we got to work out
Wait.
Alan, you're not on the stack. Alan, you're not on the stack. John Wenger is.
Yeah. It's a couple of things. One, I agree with what Steve was saying. Look, Kim, please, let's not abuse Barry. Barry is trying to maintain a good attitude in a challenging atmosphere. So let's give him the credit for that. I want to put the emphasis of my words onto supporting Michael's motion. I think it's a really good idea. And I think that this should go and it should be delivered to for the LSB to deal with it at the earliest opportunity. If they're meeting this weekend, let's make sure this motion gets to them. Michael, you have my support on the motion to the extent that I understand it, and I'm willing to get this passed and moving on to the LSB, because I think the LSB needs to take the responsibility to think about this whole thing. Even though I don't fully understand all the implications with regard to the interactions and the feedback, but I certainly think that we were mandated by the PNB to get the expenses down. And if driving the expenses down drives the number of employees laid off up, then we have to put in the appropriate expenses to those severance costs and get that done. And because the Finance Committee needs to support the LSB in order to implement the PNB mandate, and we just need to do that. So let's get it done. I support Michael's motion. I'm done.
Dave. Can I get on the stack?
After Dave. Michael, still haven't seen your motion.
I'm typing it, and I'll send it in a moment.
Okay.
Can I get on the stack?
Yes, after Dave.
Okay, well, we haven't resolved whether or not we're missing earthquake insurance. These are added expenses that have not been put in on these budget figures. There's several things, including a lot of the ones that Kim detailed in her notes, including the fact that we're using these call centers now to handle our fund drive phone calls. We've switched to a new call center that's actually charging us more money than the previous one, and that call center expense is not listed on any of these expenses. So I don't see how we can send a budget forward since we're still dealing with a budget that really isn't accurate. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, Alan and then Kim.
Okay. It takes some sleeves up, sitting around the table, working with each other on this. It's going to take some hard work, but we can hammer out a budget that we don't think is perfect, but it's what we can send forward to the local station board to adopt. They aren't going to take the time to do that hammering it out. You know how inefficient station board meetings are. It's up to us. Can we have a meeting together tomorrow or the next day where we hammer this out? Take about 6 hours out of our time.
I haven't seen Michael's motion yet.
Okay.
I apologize for sounding harsh to Barry, but I'm really, I don't know what the word is, but, you know, I spent a lot of time. We spent 3 meetings going over these expenses, and I don't think I'm the only one that sees that those corrections have not been made. So I'm not sure how to get from here to there.
Having a meeting where we make those corrections.
Alan, stop. Michael's motion only goes so far as I can tell. You know, we need to get the exact or more exact expenses in there before we know what we really are cutting. That needs to be addressed. When and how do we want to do that? I set a continuation meeting for next Wednesday. Do we want to meet next Wednesday, have the LSD pass this motion, and hope we get a second budget from management? And if not, just work on it ourselves next week? I don't know. I mean, what does anybody see as a solution?
Well, I'll try and make it next week.
I can't vote for it. Let's go next week. I can't vote for this as it is.
We're not voting for it as it is. We're voting for
Michael's motion,
which is just detailing some changes of some established revenue, you know, as a starting point.
Right. I guess.
What does anybody else want to do? Can I hear from somebody else on the LSB? The treasurer, maybe, or the PNB member, maybe? Do you care? I mean, what do you want, you know?
May I speak?
No, I want to hear from the treasurer or the PNB member.
Alan's on the LSB.
Yeah. Okay, well, we know what he wants to do. Oh, God.
Well, Paulina's in her work. Paulina's in her program.
I know. Paulina's no longer here.
Okay, so what about Grace and Ken?
They're not talking.
I support Michael's motion.
But, Michael, what is your – after we support this motion, then what? What is your expectation? We wait for another budget, like, and meet next week, or what?
There are a lot of different ways to skin a cat, as the expression goes. But the management has the prerogative to come up with a plan for how to balance the budget. And, you know, I might have one idea, which would be to chop from the top and eliminate a number of management positions, which would cut quite a bit of money, and I don't believe that management gets severance when they're relieved of their position. They're all.
I understand, Michael. Your motion to the LSB says what? That we expect this from management by when? We expect these changes or a new draft by when?
Well, you can read it in front of you.
I didn't put a date on it. Check your email. I did send it. I didn't put a date on it.
I'm checking to see if I have it.
Yeah. I got it 4 minutes ago.
Okay, fine. But, you know, we should put that in there, you know, like a deadline, and for us to meet again.
Sure. 2 weeks, you know.
Get started. The sooner the quicker. Tomorrow.
Okay, Alan, we're not doing it tomorrow. What does the rest of the group want to do?
Kim,
wow.
Fred,
I'm ready to meet next week.
I understand. I hear Fred.
Ken.
Sort of.
This is Ken.
I hear Fred, and then I hear Ken.
Okay. The way I see it is, Michael's asking management through his motion to make those changes in the budget. The problem is management's not responsive. They're not, you know, I don't know when we'll get a new budget from them. Because they're not, management's not even here.
Let me go, Paul. I'm not.
Sorry.
Okay, this is Ken.
Go ahead. It is
a simple principle here. If management doesn't come up with a correct and balanced budget as requested by government, then they have to, somebody else has to do it. That's all. And I guess you could appeal to the PMB to appoint somebody to supersede whatever activities or negligence is happening in KPFA management to generate a budget that can be passed to the LSC for approval. We just have to do that. We can't just sit here and go back and forth playing ping pong. If, you know, I mean, we're already exceeding where way too long. So
if
Michael's motion was to put on a deadline, and if not done within 7 days, we authorize the chairman to request that the PNB solve this problem in management, or request the ED, IED, to solve this problem and get somebody to create a budget, because the KPFK management is not capable of doing it. So it's like calling in the National Guard, you know. So you just have to do it. But it's not going to happen. They say you go back and forth. They say, well, why didn't you do it? You said you would do it. Well, I didn't. I couldn't because my mother had a toenail infection. So you just don't go back and forth with it. You say, okay, good. You don't give us a budget in 7 days. We will appeal to the PNB or the interim executive director to solve this by appointing somebody and even appointing somebody from the LSC to do it if they're willing. You know,
John Tadakio?
So that's what I would say is the thing. But I don't think that has to be decided until the LSC meeting. So,
John Tadakio?
We can make an amendment like that.
And
but the point is, let me just say one last thing. Protocol and structure.
Can you speak a little clearer?
Yeah, hold on. Hold on a minute.
Okay. Protocol, procedure, and all of that only, and structure only serves function. There's no point in going through a ritual if it doesn't get the job done. So we break the ritual. We say, well, management is not performing. So we request from the PNB authority to generate a budget by ourselves or to get the IED to appoint somebody, maybe NETA, whatever it costs. If it costs $5,000 or $10,000, generate a budget for KPFK that's real and balanced, as close to balance as possible.
Kim, John wants to be in the queue.
Okay.
Kim, I haven't been recognized. I kept asking to be in the queue.
Wenger, stop.
Well, just say yes or no.
Okay, but I don't want to interrupt other people any more than already has been. So Wenger and then Grace and then me.
Okay. And I'd like to speak too.
After me, Alan.
Yeah, I am. Respectfully, Ken, I disagree. I think that this finance committee has the expertise. NETA does not have a clue. The PNB doesn't have a clue. I mean, I'm not talking about the local, our local LSB members on the PNB. I'm talking about the rest of the PNB doesn't have a clue. I think we should do it ourselves. I think Michael's got the idea. I think that with the exception of the election expenses, which Kim, I believe, should not be in this budget because we don't have an election in this next budgetary year. But the rest of the thing is we should take these various things. We should make, we can ask Barry to make the changes we've asked. And meanwhile, we can just do it ourselves. We can take those expenses that you named Kim, named in this thing here, and make the appropriate adjustments and work together with Michael and come up. Michael set the goal. And we should work to support Michael to make it happen. And if Barry contributes, that's great. And if he's, how can I say this? Well, he obviously can't irritate Anielle. So if he pretty much has to follow Anielle's direction. But if Barry can help, great. We need his help. We can use his help. So collectively, we should do this. And we are the best. We know the terrain here. We're the people who live in this station. We're the people who live in the signal area. Let's not have NITA. They're foreigners. We're not have the rest of the PNB do it. The IED. They're not informed. We are the experts. Let's do it.
Okay.
We need to get into the
the
weeds. I'm done.
That's fine. Okay, Grace. Go ahead.
Okay, the LSB can't do our job. We have an oversight. A job, not a management job. Anyway, I think the motion that Michael is putting forward is excellent. We might want to add that if the business manager and general manager fail to put forward a balanced within these parameters within such and such a time, that negative reports be placed in their personnel files for not following their, for not doing their job, basically, for failing to present a balanced budget as requested by the PNB and the LSB, and also that we expect the executive director to bypass Pacifica Management to create a budget if the current management fails to do so within whatever time parameter. I leave it up to you all to figure out what dates you want to put on all this. But there has to be some enforcement mechanism at this point because we're not getting compliance. We're not getting any kind of realistic budget. What we're being presented
You need to write that up, Grace. You need to write that up. And you need to write that up and send it to me so we can vote on it.
Okay. Give me a minute or two.
Yeah, and put a date. Do we want to meet next week? Do you want to give them a deadline? You know, I mean, this is what, you know, we have basically another month until, you know, September, the LSB has to vote on it. And then it goes to the MFC. I agree with John Wenger. Nobody but local can really do this. I mean, obviously, nobody else is in the weeds. Nobody even here, most people don't really care, but there are a few people who have expertise. Unlike, you know, any other area of a Pacifica, as far as I can tell. Prove me wrong, please. But, you know, do we want to meet next week? Do we want to meet in 2 weeks and give management a deadline of, you know, a week and a half so we have a couple of days to look at it before next week? I, you know, we are having an election in 21, John Wenger.
Yeah.
There is an election in there. It's not in the expenses, but there is an election plan, for better or worse. So, you know, I was correct in saying that is not in the budget.
Okay.
And all of my other expenses that I have written in there, made a column, highlighted the changes I made to management's budget, gave an explanation for each and every one, which I feel is completely legitimate and which needs to be taken into account. I can't make a budget for all this postage and mailings, because none of this postage and mailing makes sense. They're not broken out. You know, the GM wants to make mailings, but compared to what? How do we even know if it works? We don't have all the mailing costs in one place. We don't have all the postage in one place. So in order to do a mailing, you have to know how much your expenses are and how much revenue you get. But, you know, as I said, we don't have those numbers. I can't make those numbers. You know, I can do a lot, but that's not one of them. You know, somebody's got to give that to us.
This mailing just sounds like another lame fundraising activity, because Daniel really doesn't know what to do, and I don't think any of us know what to do to bring money in. So
that's
I
fine.
Agree.
That's fine, Steve, but we're talking about the budget and the line items in development, which need to be broken out and explained to us, because those numbers don't make sense. The postage is just they pay, they put money in the meter, and then they use it. But they need to be broken out between premiums and mailings and whatever else. I mean,
I agree with you.
But
that's my point. Another lame attempt to raise money that just won't work.
No, I'm not. I have no opinion on whether the mailings will work or not. We will not know unless we have, you know, better numbers to monitor the cost and benefit. We do not have those numbers now. So it's all pie in the sky stuff. I'm just saying I have documented many of the expenses that need to be corrected. That is one I cannot do. And that's a chunk of money and possible revenue.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's just that these mailings have not worked in the past and they'll reach them in the future. It's not a good use of money.
We don't know that. I haven't seen any documentation of any of it.
Well, we've done mailings in the past, and they haven't worked.
How do we know?
From past results.
I haven't seen any results or any of the costs, so I don't know.
Well,
so what do we want to do? What do we want to do? Do we want to meet? You know, give management a deadline, you know, and meet in 2 weeks?
Let's meet next week.
But we may not have a new budget.
I propose
Barry, no, my Barry, can you get us a budget by Monday?
No, by Wednesday, yeah.
We don't.
I've waited a long time to get to the top of the list while everybody else is talking.
Okay, Alan. Okay. Barry, we need a budget before a meeting in order to review it.
So what's wrong with Wednesday?
Because we need at least a day to review it. I do. End of story. I'm not getting budgets on the day of a meeting. That's just not acceptable. Either
okay,
we
how
get
about
it
Tuesday?
A day or two before, or we'll
okay,
make
Tuesday.
A meeting in 2 weeks.
Tuesday.
Okay, this is Grace. I have the amendment, the addition. Do you want to? I sent it to you all. Can I read it?
Yeah.
Point of information. I don't know whether that's the right thing to ask for, but we have the governance meeting starting in just about 5 minutes on Maestro. So I'm wondering, does anybody have an issue with me emailing the governance committee and building another 15 or 20 minutes to start?
No, I think we can finish before 7.
Okay.
We're not finished, Grace. I mean, there are two other motions on this thing. One, I especially want to just deal with. I'm pretty sure we can get consensus on this.
Okay. Can I read the addition to Michael's motion so we can finish that?
I'll push to 6:15. I mean,
fine. And can you list a number? Because I'd like to call in, Janine.
Good number, yes.
Okay, can I read it?
Yes.
Okay, this is to be added to Michael's section.
further, the KPFK Finance Committee urges the KPFK LSB to direct the general manager and business manager of KPFK to present a balanced budget within the above parameters within 2 weeks. If KPFK management fails to present such a budget, the IED is expected to create one with the assistance, if needed, of the KPFK Finance Committee and or LSB. If KPFK management fails to comply with the above, negative personnel reports shall be sent to the personnel files of the GM and business manager.
I have an amendment to that. I want it no later than Tuesday, whatever date that is.
You mean next week?
No. Grace set it for 2 weeks. Or
I don't care.
Okay.
I put in 2 weeks. You want it different?
No, but I need it for a day ahead, at least.
Okay, so
Barry, can you get us a budget by this Tuesday or, you know, a week and a half?
A week and a half would be better. Then I could actually, you know, finalize it and go over each line item.
Okay. Okay, so that date is?
The 25th.
Okay.
Okay. By August, that's the date you want it?
Yes.
Okay.
5 o'clock.
All right.
25th, 5 o'clock. We still have 24 hours or 23 hours, 22 hours to review it.
I just put that in... italics, the edition. All right? I'm sending it.
Okay. Okay. So we're meeting in 2 weeks. Fred, will you set up a meeting, put it on the calendar for 2 weeks at 3 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll move the one that's on the 19th to the 25th.
Yes. Okay, that's good. And make sure it's now at 3 o'clock.
I'm sorry. From the 19th to the 26th, which is a Wednesday.
Right.
So
at 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock.
Yes. Okay. So let's take a vote. Well, is there any objection to the amended motion?
I've been waiting to get on the stack.
I have a question.
Oh, God. Okay.
We've got a very tough problem to solve, and it doesn't do any good to solve a problem by telling somebody else to solve it for you. Somebody who was speaking a few moments ago said, we know how to do what can be done, and it's up to us to do it, and we better get to work and do it. And I agree with that completely. I think to send motions to other people to do our work for us is like the joke about the guy that thinks he can make the little kittens pull the wagon because he has a great big whip. It doesn't get the job done. It's up to us to do it, and we should do it.
Okay, Alan. John Wenger, and then we're going to take a vote.
Yeah, the thing is, I just got from Grace says to present a balanced budget within the parameters by blah blah blah. Present it to whom? To the finance committee, to the LSB.
Yes.
It's not said.
Okay. Please,
it says present
it. Grace. Okay, Grace, please add that.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yeah. And to expedite it, present it directly to us. Let's not have any presented to the treasurer, to the chair of the committee. Let's present it to all of us directly to eliminate waits, email delays, everything. Go directly to the people who want to read it. That's us, the finance committee.
Okay, time for
I agree with Alan's remarks too.
Okay. Do we have any objections to this motion?
Okay, let me get it to you first.
We can finesse it. I'm sure it'll be fine. Well, I just think that, well.
Well, the meeting's been recorded. We have verbal agreement. I trust Grace. I mean, this is, we're talking about a tweak, but all I'm doing is we're just trying to get it as good as we can within the few seconds.
Are there any objections to this?
Yes.
Okay. So I hear one objection. I'll take a vote. Grace, do you vote for the amended motion?
Yes.
Ken. Is he on?
Yes.
Alan Beek.
No.
Okay. Fred Blair.
Yes.
Bella DeSoto. Not here. Dave Johnson.
Yes.
Steve Kaiser.
Yes.
Kim Kaufman, yes. Michael Novick.
Yes.
Pauline is gone. John Wenger.
Yes.
Okay, so we're done. Now.
I have another call. I have to go back to the governor.
I should have been on the roll. I know you haven't probably checked your email, but I sent proof that I was on the May call. So I should still be on the committee. This is
okay, fine. All right. Okay. I have this one motion that I'd like to go to the LSB this weekend. Let me read it to you. The Finance Committee approved the following motion at the July 8th meeting. The KPFK Finance Committee requests from management a list of all premiums listed by totals from most to least by program, programmer, times each program has run, with the fulfillment rate and how much the premiums cost in net loss or profit for the last 3 years. The LSB approved it at the July 19th meeting. The GM presented it, was present, and said he couldn't comply with any of it for 6 months. Therefore, the Finance Committee requests from the GM that the GM provide what is already available, a list of all premiums listed by totals from most to least by program programmer has already been published in the GM's recent fund drive report. We request the addition of times each program has run, which must by definition already be available in order to make the list. The fulfillment rate is required for properly making the budget. Okay? The motivation is, you know, we presented a motion with stuff that I knew shouldn't go in there, and the GM said, oh, I can't do any of it. So this stuff is already available. We're making the request again for stuff that is available. Any stack or questions, comments? Hello? Anyone?
Yeah, Kim?
Yeah.
I support your motion.
Okay. Anybody else? Is anybody left here or have people gone?
I'm still here and I'm not going to vote no.
You're going to vote no.
I'm
not going to vote no.
Because Michelle Manos just submitted her resignation.
From what?
So, anyway.
From what? The board or the as chair?
Board.
What?
The board.
Okay.
She's running for public office. You can read it. But anyway, I'm sorry. Kim, can you read your motion again?
Did it's on the agenda,
out?
Grace. It's on the agenda.
Out. It's on the agenda.
Number 9.
Okay.
This is Ken. I move that the motion should be approved by consent. I think Alan B said he will not vote no.
That is correct.
Okay.
He didn't say he would. He said he would not. So,
yeah,
so I think there's no objection. Let's move on.
I'll take a vote again. I'm not even sure who's on the call. Okay, let's take a vote.
Nobody objects.
Ken, I cannot hear you. You were clear a minute ago, and now you're fuzzy again.
He's saying there's no objection.
Yeah, but I don't know who's on the call.
Nobody objects. Nobody objects. Alan doesn't object. What's the difference?
Alan doesn't object or he does object?
He does not object.
Okay. Okay, so there's no objections. That's passed, and that's going to the LSB this weekend. I have another motion on there, which is might be contentious. I don't know. Is this governance meeting going to happen now or what?
No, it's already, let's say it started. What's your motion?
Since Christine Blasdale is a full-time employee of KPFK, all of her work product is owned by Pacifica. Therefore, any money that is charged to any other Pacifica unit for using her fund drive programs shall come to KPFK as revenue for KPFK. This money does not belong to Christine or any other paid employee. Any editing done to accommodate the use by other stations shall be considered part of the normal duties as a Pacifica employee. This should be taken up by the PMD as a network policy. And let me tell you my motivation for this is, I mean, I knew this was going on. I did not realize Christine was a full-time employee as of 2017. Why did I not know that? Because it wasn't reported on the EEOC filings, yearly filings, as required by the FCC. I thought she was a consultant. And I listened to the WBAI Finance Committee last week, and there's, you know, WBAI's GM saying, well, you know, when they're talking about revenue, well, we have to, you know, I'll have to talk to Christine and make a deal with her and make a deal with Tony Bates and Gary Null. Now, there's nothing we can do about Tony Bates or Gary Null, but Christine is a paid employee of KPFK. So that's why I made this motion.
Okay, this is Ken to the SAC.
Go ahead.
Okay, I concur with you. There's a lot of loose doors open in terms of work for hire, you know, people who are getting paid. We own their content. Everybody else, a lot of people are making money with it. And Christine, they have some unusual deals. But you're coming up with a conclusion. I think that this, you could say that, we request that the PNB appoint a committee to investigate any arrangements people have. You can't, I don't think it's appropriate just to target Christine because there may be lots of other things like that going on.
Okay.
And I know there are. So
okay.
I don't think it's, and also you're coming up with a conclusion as if to say, you know, and this is what should happen. This is the way it should go, which I don't think is appropriate without having an investigation that's covered all of the phenomena involved and
okay.
all of the parties involved.
This
so I, that's,
yeah.
I don't think that's going to get approved this meeting.
Okay.
But
I agree
mean,
with you, Ken. I agree with you, Ken. Wait a second, Grace. I agree with you, Ken. Do you want to make a motion to postpone this till the
Oh, yeah, that's
meeting?
Good. That's good. I'll go for that.
We can wordsmith it. We can wordsmith it. Yes, let's do the whole thing that you said.
Whatever it is, postpone it, take it on the table, take it off the table, whatever you put it into the future, and we can talk about it in a meeting, the next meeting or whatever.
No, your suggestions are well taken, very well taken, and we can wordsmith it and have it on the next agenda. Okay?
Great. Yeah.
Okay.
Point of order.
Go ahead.
Yeah. If it's on the agenda for the next meeting, it should be in closed session because you're talking about possible impropriety on the part of a staff member. Therefore, it's not just financial. It should be in closed session.
Okay. This is not impropriety because it's being spoken about in the open. This was spoken about openly at the WBAI Finance Committee. This is, you know, it's on their P&Ls. This is not a secret, Grace. And we're not going to target any employee. We're making it general as to,
and you should take a name out of it.
We will. We're going to wordsmith it for the next meeting.
Okay, very good.
We're postponing it, and we're going to wordsmith it so it's more, policy.
Good.
Okay. So that more or less completes something. I'm not sure what. Is there, in fact, a governance meeting now, or what's going on?
Yes.
I call it to adjourn.
Well, I want to know, is the number listed? I'm trying to pull up KPFTX. My thing is slow. Oh, God. My internet's being really hinky.
Well,
do a lot of people have a number?
Yeah. I like that governance number, too. I like that governance number. Does anybody have it handy?
Yes. No, it's listed on KPFTX. Okay. Okay. So we're adjourned, okay? Thank you all. Sorry this is long and contentious. What can I say? You know,